Welcome to Gleaning and Gathering. My name is Eric Heimlich. I'm your host, and today I am here with my co-host for the very first time, Kaylin Heimlich. Welcome to the studio, Kaylin.
Hello. It's so good to be here.
Well, we have tried this before and had a catastrophic failure with our recording system. We recorded a beautiful 45-minute podcast.
Fantastic.
Got to the end and found out that it wasn't there. Whatever happened, we don't know. Technology.
We have 6 minutes of it.
Yeah, we do have 6 minutes, but it was not the best 6 minutes for sure. So no. There wasn't really anything we could do except start over again. So here we are. I really wanted to talk about the vision of Victory Acres. Today, just finished the Victory Acres board meeting and had delicious lasagna. Mm-hmm. And today was really a special day because 20 years ago, this fall, was our very first Victory Acres board meeting.
Okay.
So 20 years ago, we met for the very first time.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, Union Bible College, Westfield, Indiana. Brother Larry Grile was our chairman. Mm. He was elected at that first meeting. And Brother Mark Bird became our vice chairman. Mm. And so now here we are 20 years later. Brother Bird is still a board member. And he's the only inaugural board member left.
He's the chairman, right?
Yes, yeah. And he is the chairman now. And so we've had some amazing continuity on our board and just a great discussion. Our board meetings are so free-ranging, and we have such fun. We talk about all kinds of things, and some of them are relevant to Victory Acres, which is what we're supposed to be discussing. But we just have a great time.
Yeah.
And it was beautiful, beautiful day. We went on a hayride together around the farm, looked at the progress, talked about things, came back, ate lasagna and salad and garlic bread made with our very own.
And cheesecake.
Yes, and cheesecake. We added cheesecake today, so it was beautiful. So I'm thinking about the vision of Victory Acres already. Yes. Been talking about that. And so just wanted to spend some time just processing that with you. And one of the things that I'm excited about here is that as we've walked this winding road, and it has been, you know, twists and turns all along the way, that God has provided every step of the way. Mm. And really, I think that's maybe the only thing that I really need to say is that God has provided.
Yeah.
And
He will again.
He will again. Right? Exactly. But from your perspective, what about Victory Acres excites you right now? What is it that we're doing or getting ready to do that you are really the most excited about?
Well, I wasn't a part of the board meeting today, so I don't know all of the specific updates, but just from what we've talked about in the last few months and weeks and, well, years, I guess, I think the thing that excites me the most would be ministry to young people specifically. Mm-hmm. I know NDP is a big part of my passion. I was kind of there at the beginning of birth.
Yeah.
And so it's been an exciting ride since that time. Just kind of a shift of not purpose, but maybe direction in purpose. So going the same.
Yeah.
Working on the same, going in the same direction, and yet kind of in a different emphasis along that route. We've talked about how the ministry of Victory Acres is now emphasizing hospitality, healing, and discipleship.
Yes.
And what that looks like that we are disciples of Christ and we are inviting people to follow Christ as well here on the farm. And so that can look like a lot of different things and a lot of different people, but especially young people and young leaders. Mm-hmm. And that's probably, having just gotten kind of out of Bible college, I'm really excited about the opportunity to give a space for there to be solitude and a place for intentional
connection.
Right. Well,
what word were you thinking of?
Intentional quiet was the word that I was thinking.
Yeah.
But I don't know that that's the word that I want. Mm-hmm. Just intentional living before Christ and recognizing what that looks like in the day to day. But doing that from a place that you don't have to be necessarily a part of the day-to-day. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think so. And I think one of the things that I think we're moving towards as a farm is more event-based ministry rather than why don't you come here and live here and, you know, slave away in the fields for nothing for the next 6 months and see how you like that.
Yeah, it's always an option.
we've done a little bit of that over the years. And unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, it hasn't always worked out well. You know, and I think that an event-based situation probably fits most people's life and lifestyle better. Right. You know, once you come join us for a Thursday through Sunday event and get to do some really cool stuff, but you get to leave before some of the reality of being here day in and day out sets in. You know what I mean?
Yeah. For some people, that's what they're going to need. And I think the thing that we want to emphasize is space. So
yes,
creating space for God and people to share in a life that is slower than the pace that we are currently experiencing. I know you've read several books that have kind of pushed you in that direction.
An Unhurried Life, An Unhurried Leader, both great books. Mm-hmm. And and there's more where that came from.
Mm-hmm, right.
But really an emphasis on contemplative living, being able to really focus on God and what is he speaking to us about, making space for God to do that. And I think that's missing, really, from a lot of people's life and situation today.
And it needs to be a part of our daily life. So,
of course,
as Christians, that's what Christ is calling us to live kind of in contrast to the rest of the world. And that often happens in even our pace of life. You talk about how in reading the book of Matthew, you came to the realization that in contrast to your life at the time, Jesus was never hurried. He changed the world in 3 years and yet doesn't ever seem like he's being pressed or pushed. And that is very, it contrasts our world and the pace of our world so much. And so I think as Christians, we want to put that into our lives. We want this space for Christ to be there, but don't often know how to get that. And so I think Victory Acres could be a stepping stone to help people get that into their lives on a regular basis, but kind of inaugurate that or give a place for leaping off. I don't know what the word is, but
a place where you can begin something that you can continue after you leave here.
Yeah.
But it's a place where you can set some new patterns. Mm-hmm. And I know for us, you know, we've had the blessing of experiencing some of that over the years. You know, I know when we went to what was called King's Ranch back then, it's the Springs today, in near Oldenburg, Indiana. It was just so refreshing and to be able to see a different way of life, a different way of living in a place, even though we only visited for a short period of time, it's like, wow, this is amazing. I want more of this. And to be able to go back and then live as a contemplative in the world, still pushed, pressured, all those things from without, and yet learning that the same kind of peace and calm that God can give me at the Springs, he can give me in the day-to-day battle as well. Well, one of the things that we talked about as a board today and that we are, Lord willing, setting a course for is to be able to get the resources to be able to develop a space here for events. Okay. So an event center of sorts. And again, what all that will look like and how big that will be. But having events here of a variety of different kinds from a ministry perspective is what we'll get to use it for. But then being able to be a venue that hosts events, whether that's weddings, whether that's other kinds of outside events, that would obviously be a source of revenue,
income,
a source of income that would then make it possible for us to be able to do the rest of the event schedule that we want to do. So again, we schedule our events, but then we also leave a significant block of time available when we are booking other outside events here at our venue. And just do it a first-class way. Do it in a really, really nice way. And so we had some great conversations surrounding that. And I think it really fits with what we're wanting to do you know, whether that's the Center for Resilient Leadership that I've talked about, whether that's the more of the Nehemiah Discipleship Program and the summer training type work that we're wanting to do with that, whether that's retreats for young couples, whether that's the retreats for college age students that are coming here for a weekend. But just being a place where people are always coming here and they're finding shalom. They're finding what God is up to, what he's doing in this place. And it's beautiful and it's winsome, you know, and it reminds me of La Brie, you know, with Francis Schaeffer. It reminds me of Dietrich Bonhoeffer and Finkenwalden and what he did there. Life Together was written as a result of his time there in Finkenwalden. But there's just so much that can be learned in a space like this.
Right.
And I am excited to see what God's going to do with that.
Yeah. For the people that are listening to this, who do you see as that, those people that you are inviting here that you want, hey, come, we want you to be, we want you to be a part of the Victory Acres community. Who are you inviting into that space? Is it just people from the inner city? Are you still thinking, are you thinking young, old? What's the target market?
Yeah, well, it's a great question. And I love great questions, as you know. What's the next question? I'm just kidding. So I think the, for lack of a better term, the target market, I hate that term,
by the way,
but yes, are people that recognize that there's a need for more. And so it may be a business leader right now that they're doing okay. Their business is great, but their marriage is in trouble. They recognize their kids are not growing up the way that they wanted them to. And so they need to come and really take time to really reflect on their direction, where they're headed, who they are, and being with people that will help him process that. Maybe that's a missionary who's just coming back from the field. And they need a season of grace and space to be able to get their head together and think about things differently. I don't know exactly what that could look like. But I guess what we're wanting to do is to throw the door open on that and say, we're going to be inviting people to come and to spend some time here. And that there would be some events that will be planned where, you know, we will have days of prayer where you can come and be here at the farm. And we're not quite sure who will show up, but we're going to pray together. And we've got a beautiful space where we can do that. We've got a prayer chapel where we can do that. We've got a farmhouse where we're going to seek God together. We've got a woods where we can walk together and either be together with others, if that's what we want to do in prayer, or just be in solitude and be with God alone in prayer. But what I'd love to see happen is for us to begin to develop, whether it's individual retreats, whether it's group retreats, whether it's family retreats, but to be able to use this space for people to be able to make space for God. That's really what I want, is for people to be able to do that. And it can be families from the inner city. It could be families that are from the suburbs. It really doesn't matter. I'm not saying it, you know, you have to be a redheaded Irish person born on Tuesday to participate in this. I don't think we need to segment that down. But I do think that you need to be hungry for God. I do think that it's not just a cheap alternative to Disney World. Like, that's not what we're here for. What we're here for is to create space where people that are interested in being able to shut off their stupid cell phone for a while and be able to just unplug. No, there's not going to be any internet, and Wi-Fi is not available in the spaces that we have. But we do have a few kayaks. We do have a mile and a half of trails. We do have some beautiful places where you can be together with your family. We have some games you can play. We have a farmhouse built in 1893 that you can spend some time in.
So maybe not a cheap alternative, but an intentional alternative.
An intentional alternative, yeah. I that's a better way to put it, yes. And your cell phone's not stupid. It is a tool, and it accomplishes, I guess, what it's supposed to accomplish most of the time.
Most of the time.
But I'm recognizing, at least even in my own life,
right,
I don't need to condemn anybody else. I can just condemn myself. Yeah, there's so many
right
times where those interruptions mm-hmm just begin to control us.
Right.
To be able to break away from that
mm-hmm
and the toxicity of that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Is something that we don't even recognize until we actually make space, push back, and intentionally mm-hmm do it.
Yeah. You know? Then realize how hard it is and
yeah
say, oh,
so, like, maybe I'm this not gonna,
is unhealthy.
I'm not going to touch my phone until noon. You know how hard that is to do?
Mm-hmm. Especially when it's available. I think that's the thing that's so beautiful about here, or about the opportunity of coming here intentionally, is that you can, like, you do not have access to the rest of the things that, so we go to a tiny camp every summer.
Yes.
And at the camp, there is no cell service
yeah
and there's no Wi-Fi.
It's beautiful.
It's a wonderful place. One of the things though that they ask you to do, so you're not using the entire time desperate to get connection, is that you just set aside all devices and you're willing to be there intentionally.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's part of going. We end our snap streaks and just
mm-hmm
head out. And by day five, you don't remember it. You really don't. It's
yeah
not that you're hungry for it. You're not hungry for it anymore. But it takes that radical, like, recognition that I am separate from this for a time, that we can then take those habits and bring them back into our lives, as we were talking about before. It's all about creating habits that are not going to be just habits for here. I think it's important.
Right. Yes.
That they be transferable.
Yeah.
And I think even if you can't come to Victory Acres, there are spaces like this all over the United States.
Right.
I believe all over the world. I haven't been. But places where there is beauty, there mm-hmm is quiet, and God is waiting for us to meet him in those places. He
yeah
he meets us in our day-to-day life, but I think he wants to meet us in a quiet space. So I think finding those, even if you can't come and spend a weekend at Victory Acres, it's important to go and spend a weekend somewhere where
absolutely
you can be quiet.
Absolutely. And I think about that in marriage a little bit. Like, you know, I try to talk to my wife every day. You know,
right,
I try to talk to Rochelle a little bit, even if it's just, you know, how are you doing? How are you feeling? Mm-hmm. What, you know, what happened today? What was the best part of your day? Worst part of your day? But I know in our marriage, the beauty of taking
mm-hmm
a few days, even if it's just like 2 or 3 days away.
Right.
And the way that we are able to disconnect from all those other things
mm-hmm
and reconnect to each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful. And it's so helpful
mm-hmm
for our overall relationship. And I think the same is true in our relationship with God. It's
right
not a substitute for read your Bible, pray every day,
yeah,
you know, grow. But just like any relationship, if you're not investing significant time
mm-hmm
in really being able to just push aside all the rest of that noise and stuff and just be with him,
mm-hmm,
there's going to be something lacking there mm-hmm in time. And so, you know, that's what we're hoping for, is that we can develop that sort of time where it's not like we're going to have, you know, all these preaching services or other events that you're going to need to go to or sessions that you're going to be part of, but creating space
mm-hmm
for God and believing that God is wanting
mm-hmm
to be wanted, that
right
he's wanting to meet us in those spaces.
Right.
And that as we make this space available to hungry hearts that will come and just be, that God will flow through that and that he will do things
mm-hmm
that are significant, that
mm-hmm
are lasting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I think back to the time in 2007, where our family was able to get away for a month and to pray and to wait. And there were a lot of people like, well, wow, you know, you get to take a vacation for a whole month. I'll tell you, it was not a vacation. It was like some of the hardest work we've ever done in terms of soul work
mm-hmm
and soul care and really investing that time to seek God,
mm-hmm,
to be quiet, to listen, to read, to spend time in his word. But what came out of that time was absolutely transformational. Mm-hmm. What came out of that time was four very clear things that God showed us during that month that changed the course of our lives.
Right.
It absolutely changed the course of our lives. And I think back on that. I think back on it, and I wonder, if we had not done that, mm-hmm. Kaylin, I do not know where we would be today. Mm-hmm. But it would not have been a good place. Mm-hmm. From the outside looking in, everything was perfect. Everything was going fine. You know, we were going gangbusters in ministries, right. Never better. And yet dying on the inside, mm-hmm. and being able to come away for that time and really focusing, mm-hmm. it made all the difference in that moment. And there have been ongoing seasons since then that God has led us into. Mm-hmm. But that time was pivotal. Mm-hmm. That was a moment that I point back to again and again. And as I look back on my life, really every significant point that I can point back to of anything that's been accomplished, that's been lasting, mm-hmm. has been birthed in prayer. Mm-hmm. Victory Acres came about as a result of a 3-day prayer retreat here at Victory mm-hmm. Acres. Back then, the Hammock Family Farm, back in October 2005. You know, it was in 2007 that we took that time away, and God showed us some clear things that we needed to take next steps. Mm-hmm. And I think about the kinds of days of prayer when in praying about and reflecting on what should we do in relation to Detroit, where God gave direction mm-hmm. and where he opened doors, where he made a way where there was mm-hmm. no way. Everything that I can point back to that's lasting came about as a result of concerted, extended mm-hmm. time in prayer. Everything. And I know that, you know, up here in right. my head.
Right. And yet when it comes to actually doing something, we're like, okay, well, what do we do? What do we do?
There's 101 things. Yeah. Yeah. We got 101 other things we got to do. You know?
Right. Right.
And so many people, I don't have time to do all this praying stuff. Like, you know, prayer is for chumps. You know, I need to get to the real work.
Right.
Let's just go do stuff. We don't have time to sit around and pray. And yet what are we going to do that's mm-hmm. more important than that?
Right. So this last week, this last week, we went to a youth challenge, and oh, gracious me.
Darley Stetler.
Thank you. He preached a message, and his last message was about the kingdom. There's a lot of things that it was about, but the kingdom being the central thing, the thing. Mm-hmm. And if it's not the thing in your life, then you need to reevaluate. You need to take another look. And that, I knew it, again, yeah. head. I knew mentally that this is correct. My life should be about pleasing God and serving him first. Mm-hmm. And yet so often it doesn't translate into my world, into my hands.
Daily actions.
Right. And so this is part of that. If you really, I understand that there are so many people that don't, like, their life is full.
Yeah.
It's so full. And the idea of taking a month away from that is like, it's impossible.
Yeah.
It's
like a luxury
option. Right. And yet what is our life about?
Yes.
And I don't mean that everybody needs to take a month away.
No.
I think God does meet us in the mundane. I think if you do have two kids that are under two, God is meeting you right where you're at.
Absolutely.
And it is in performing the daily duties that he is meeting you, and he can give you quiet there. But if you have the opportunity, I think taking that opportunity is super, super important. The other thing that you were mentioning is how God, in his infinite wisdom, how God took you away from ministry, quote mm-hmm. unquote, mm-hmm. To prepare you for what he really wanted to do. I have just been humbled over and over. It was during that time, I didn't fully understand or process what God was doing.
Yeah.
Part of what he did was he took us away from Indianapolis. He took us ultimately away from Indianapolis and brought us to a little tiny farm in the middle of Indiana. And I didn't understand it until later, but there were so many people that were coming through our home in Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. And here there were people that then came through our home again, but there were fewer of them. And it seemed strange that God would want us to, quote, minister less. And then when Mama started having seizures, our entire plate was just wiped. Mm-hmm. And there was nothing that God was using us for, quote unquote. But through all of that, God teaching us that he cares more about what he is doing in us than what he is doing through us. We are primarily his children.
That's right.
Not his tools.
That's right.
And that experience being very connected to this place that we get to plant seeds, but God is the one that does the work.
Yes.
We get to water them, but when it comes right down to it, there is no way in the world I can create photosynthesis.
Right.
I offer my seed to him, mm-hmm. but he is the one that provides the increase. And so I think as this being a place where we can do that with him, that there's good work to do, there's soul work to do, mm-hmm. but that work is in surrender. It's in allowing the world to recognize that it doesn't need us.
Yes.
And yet then going back to it and offering what God gives us. It's just an opportunity.
It is an opportunity. And I think that's the thing about this place is that rather than trying to figure out how are we going to do this,
right?
Victory Acres is a great example of how when we give up and just allow God to take what we have, like he's able to do.
Exceedingly abundantly.
way more. way more. And so we've been learning that lesson mm-hmm. all the way along here. He's provided just enough, just in time. Mm-hmm. You know, and I remember back in 2012, right after Mama began to have his seizures, and in October, she started having seizures in August, and in October, the main barn here at Victory Acres mm-hmm. burned. We didn't have any insurance. We lost all the barn. Mm-hmm. We lost all the hay, all the straw for the year. We lost several animals mm-hmm. and quite a bit of equipment and no insurance to put it back. And just that feeling of just utter and complete, just like devastation, mm-hmm. like, what are we going to do? And then God provided many times $25 here, $50 there. People rallied around, people mm-hmm. from our community, people that we'd never heard of before.
Right.
And over $25,000 came in to rebuild the barn. And on our barn raising, we had over 60 people that were there, mm-hmm. many of whom had never built a barn in their life, but they're here to help us build this barn. And it was beautiful.
Yes.
It was the barn that God built through his people, through his community. And it was a wonderful experience to be part of. Mm-hmm.
And still there.
And it's still there. It's a testimony to God's provision. Mm-hmm. And that's the way that he's worked all the way along.
Right.
And you know, there's lots of challenges that we faced and continue to face, but God teaching us that he is Jehovah Jireh
right.
is one of those lessons. It's one lesson that's available everywhere you look here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the tractor that God provided. This is the greenhouse that God provided. This is, you know, and there's a story behind each one of those mm-hmm. of things that God has given us, things that we did not work to produce. Mm-hmm. And that there is nothing that we could have done to make it happen mm-hmm. in our own strength.
Right.
And yet, as we have trusted him as simple children and said, Daddy, what do you want us to do next?
Right.
And as we shut down the community supported agriculture program, and a lot of people were like, you're going to run this farm into the ground. This is all, you know, this is all for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, as we did, the reality is that 9 years later, we're in a better place mm-hmm. now than we were in the entire time when we were trying like crazy to just make this place successful.
Mm-hmm. So the community supported agriculture was the program that supported and funded the farm for the first how many years?
So we started it, it would have been in 2006 was our first year.
Okay.
And then we ran that, I think 2014 was our last year for running the CSA. So whatever that is, 8 years, 8-9 years.
And that's how God provided for the first...
It was.
Time of paying for the farm and having work for people to do and everything
it was
connected
and,
to that
and but God used
there
it.
Was a time when it needed
the tail began to wag the dog
right
and so there came a point in there where we were no longer focused on the original mission and vision
mm-hmm.
of how do we create a place of hospitality healing that wasn't it mm-hmm. you know we're just how can we raise these vegetables get these to the people. And the irony was that we were so busy trying to do mm-hmm. all that, There was no time, energy left to be able to focus on the people or to focus on God, for that matter. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was after that that we built a prayer chapel here, a prayer chapel mm-hmm. that stands as a testimony to God's provision for this place. Much of it was built by volunteers, mm-hmm. but it also stands as a testimony to what's really important here.
Right.
We have a barn, but we also have a prayer chapel. Mm-hmm. And we are trusting that God will provide for his work in the way that he wants to provide. Mm-hmm. And so some of the ways that he provides for that is good old-fashioned hard work.
Right.
And we're not afraid of that. We're not throwing that Amen. Away. It's not either or.
No.
It's not, well, either God's going to provide everything for us or we're going to get out there and work for it all.
Right.
It's not either extreme.
Yeah.
It's us working together with God. And you see that on the farm, just like you were pointing out. You know, we poke the seeds in the ground and then God does the miracle mm-hmm. of causing the seed to grow. And so there's this constant opportunity mm-hmm. that we have here to be able to work together with God mm-hmm. and to see the results of that everywhere, evident around us
right.
in the good food that is produced. You know, in every cubic inch of soil out here on this farm, there are billions, not just millions, but billions of little creatures down there in Whoville doing their thing, many of which we never know their names and we have no idea what all they're doing, mm-hmm. but God made every one of them. And he made every one of them to fulfill a specific task. Mm-hmm. Many of those science doesn't even completely fully understand or comprehend right. yet. But they're making all kinds of transfers of nutrients and there's all kinds of life that's happening there. That's a God thing. Mm-hmm. In every cubic inch of soil, God is at work. And when we begin to recognize that, mm-hmm. when we begin to see that for what it is, and see that it's mystery, mm-hmm. we live in mystery, mm-hmm. it's a beautiful thing.
Right.
To be able to, you know, run your fingers through brand new compost and see, you know, what's coming out of that. And it's so alive and so rich. And obviously, that has something to do with our health,
mm-hmm.
you know? Right. And so the connection between healthy food and healthy bodies and healthy living
and healthy minds
it's there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what we want to be cultivating here. Mm-hmm. Is this way of looking at life and living that is God-centered.
Right.
That recognizes that God is at work. Mm-hmm. And yes, we can burn it all down or round up and just completely disregard everything that's going on down there and just say, you know, just kill it all. But is that really how Jesus would farm?
Mm. What is the wisdom of God as it relates to farming?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, right. I get it. I'm not here to bash conventional agriculture. It's the system we have. And if it went away today,
we wouldn't have food.
Millions of people would die of starvation. So I get it. I'm not an organic purist who's here saying everybody needs to eat organic food, because I sure don't. I can't afford it all. But do I think that we can be learning from that and growing at least some food in right. a way that recognizes that, you know,
God has a system. Let's God work has with a system. It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And doing that in a way that as we're picking green beans, we can have some amazing conversations.
Right.
And build some relationships and do some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I know a lot of people think I'm crazy and that this has absolutely nothing to do with Jesus.
Mm.
I see a lot of people that don't see that connection.
Mm-hmm.
And are like, what? Like, Jesus is about religion. Jesus is about church. Just get people to church on Sunday. Let's get mm-hmm. them saved. Get them ready for heaven. Check the box.
Right.
And that's good enough.
Yes, but what is the church? And what is... And yes.
So there's a whole lot more there.
Right.
And I think that when we begin to really...
What is the kingdom of God? Is he restoring and reconciling all things to himself? And if we're talking about all things, is it really all things? Even the principalities and powers, like recognizing that the world that we live in, God is calling us to bring heaven to earth, so to speak, or this idea that God's kingdom is here, is mm-hmm. here and coming. Mm-hmm. And so what does it look like to have his kingdom on a farm? What does his kingdom farm look like?
Yeah.
Is it just conventional agriculture? Perhaps, perhaps that's, but I just maybe ask the question, maybe not.
Yeah. And bending back towards God creation's,
right,
God's
right.
creation purposes, is there
dominion and all of that?
Yeah. Is there a way in which we can do agriculture that better reflects mm-hmm. the character and the purposes of God in nature?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. But I think that exploring some of those things mm-hmm. here,
right,
and doing that in a way that welcomes other people into that process
mm-hmm.
and values them and makes space for them.
Mm-hmm.
And doing that in such a way that, you know, it's kind of fun too.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm excited about seeing where all that goes. So I know for some of you that are listening to this, like, this is absolutely crazy.
It's okay.
But that's fine. For the rest of you, if you'd like to visit, we would love to talk with you about these and many other topics
mm.
that we get into, whether it's picking green beans or pulling weeds or just sitting around the dinner table enjoying some of this good food after a long, hard day. So I'm excited to see where it all goes.
Unfortunately, that's where our episode came to an end. Our podcast software that we were using malfunctioned, and so when I went back during the editing process, realized that that's where it concluded. So hope that it's been a blessing to you, and look forward to hearing more and sharing more together with Kaylin in the episodes ahead as co-host here for Gleaning and Gathering. God bless.